Hello, welcome to Joy 94.9. We are so excited to be talking to you this morning.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
We're so happy to have you. Just really quickly, you're in New York right now, aren't you?
I am.
Were you affected by the blackout? Are you in candlelight right now, or do you have full electricity?
No. I guess that's just in sort of Midtown or something, wherever Madison Square Garden is. Are you thinking because of Jennifer Lopez? I didn't even notice. So
that's how all-powerful you are, that you're just not affected by these kinds of things.
Yeah, I barely even noticed. Maybe I was stumbling around in the dark. I was drunk. Why are you asking me? No, there was no problem where I am.
So we're so excited about your return to Australian television tonight with My Life is Murder.
Me too. I met with this dynamic young woman. She was like, how about it? And I went, yeah, that's a bloody good idea. We found a great writer and good old Channel 10 factor. And 13 months later, we were wrapping it up. And now, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So we're going to ask the audience to have a little taste.
Yep.
Hopefully they're going to, love it as much as we do. And it's fun. It's just a bit of lighthearted fun with gorgeous people in a beautiful city and getting a little bit, dose of justice. It always ends well because we're sick of miserable stories out there and gore and that's just the news, So
I think it's
want to have a little bit of fun just for no reason.
Well, I think it's really cool that you're like another strong, powerful female lead. I think you're just born for that. So, I mean, does it feel great to be in that position again of just calling the shots and standing tall?
It really does, especially because I'm executive producing this one too, so I just felt like, oh, okay, Lucy, put your big girl pants on and go and do it. So it's been magnificent, but I've got to be honest, we've got an incredible team who do a lot of the heavy lifting, and I've just been riding on everybody else's brilliance.
What sort of creative control does that give you, Lucy, when you're executive producing a show?
Well, I have consultation on everything as part of my contract. If I had time, it would be sitting in on budgets and all that kind of drudgery. I had a say in casting, but I must say towards the end there, I was just too busy to keep up with that. But I guess one of my contributions was to rope in some of my old acting pals, and they were good enough to come along for the ride and kick our show off in a really wonderful way. So we got Lindsay Ferris played my rent boy friend, but in the first episode, he's a rent boy.
Yeah.
And Maggie Zubanski.
Oh, wow.
Danielle, incredible. Cormac, who's a very dear old friend of mine. She's just amazing. And Don Honey, ton of other people.
I was excited to see Bernard Curry's on board as well, because he's a great Australian actor and we just haven't seen enough of him.
Oh, and he's so, I tell you what, he is the most cheerful, upbeat human being to have on your team. It's like, oh, everybody should have Bernard Curry on their phone, in their foxhole,
Yep.
He's great fun. And we're also introducing the world to a brilliant new star, which is Ebony Vagina, just a knockout Aussie actress. The young girls coming out of Aussie, I'm telling you, out of NIDA and, all the acting schools are unbelievable. So congratulations.
Back to you being executive producer. I'm hoping you've crowbarred some fighting scenes in there.
Oh, there's a little bit of that. Not too much. I'm 51. Give me a break, Dave. Gabe, you're always pushing me on. You're always disappointed in me, Gabe.
No. You could do anything and I'd be totally happy with it.
There is a little bit, but I'm really happy. These days, I'm super happy to let my stunt woman do everything they can possibly do.
You're sorry, Lucy.
You've got bloody good stunt women in there, Australia too.
Nice.
You're a bit of a badass, though, in this show. We can say that, right? That's the gist I'm getting from the show.
Yes, my ass is very bad. Hence the trench coat. My signature trench.
Oh, you're in a trench coat?
Yeah.
Excellent. Nice.
Is there a little bit of a, it is a crime show, but is there a little bit of a comedy element in the show as well? That was a little bit of a gist I was getting.
Quite a lot. Yes, there really is. I know that the promos look all sort of hardened, action-y sort of Starsky and Hutch, if you know what that is. But it's much more quite lighthearted and sassy and really tasty, It just looks great, and it's like real life, but a little bit better. The women are kind of glamorous and the dudes are handsome and Nothing wrong with it.
No, no. Well, you're filming in Australia or in Melbourne specifically, so I'm not surprised at all. Lucy, just going back to your comedy, I mean, I hate to bring it up so soon, but with Xena Warrior Princess, you always...
So soon.
I waited as long as I could.
Like 25 years ago.
Hey, look, we've been waiting for the 8-minute mark. We're at 8 minutes now. We can bring it up, yeah?
I mean, you're...
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think, I mean, even in Xena, you could see that kind of cheeky humour behind what you're doing, so your euphemisms and things like that in Xena. And you've done a lot of stuff in comedy, so you've been on Saturday Night Live, you're on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Do you feel like you've got that comedy character out of your system, or you just really want to keep going down that path?
No, I never figured out quite how to do it, to be honest with you. And this time I'm just allowed to be put much more of myself into it.
Yep.
Which is a lovely experience as a creative being, you know, as an actress. That's a really nice, slightly risky thing to do, because it's, you know, it's kind of me up there.
Mm.
So we're just going to hand it over and let the audience make it what they will. I hope they don't say rubbish.
Now, you're a bit of a gay icon.
Yay.
I'm thinking when you go to a gay bar, Lucy, all the lesbians want to get with you.
I thought about walking in the other night at Happy Hour down Christopher Street or somewhere else down the village, and I got nervous.
Because I'm thinking...
I felt like if I just go in there, because it looked like a really cool bar, it was really crammed and everything, but it's like, I don't know, I just got all shy all of a sudden, and it just moved on by.
I'm also thinking all the gay men want to be your best friend. Is there a case of when you go to gay bar, everyone just trying to buy you a drink? Like, does everyone just flock towards you? What kind of happens?
Oh, it'll take a little while for people to figure it out. Did it? I don't know. I'm going to have to try. I'm going to go back tomorrow night. I'm going to find that bar, and I'm going to walk in and see what happens and report back.
Okay, well, could you just specifically tell me which bar and at what time?
I don't know what it was called, actually.
Oh, all right, well, I'll be trying.
Just all of them. Hop over here and we'll go do a run, shall we?
What we're saying, Lucy, is when you're back in Melbourne, we'll meet up with you. We'll take you to the Peel Hotel. We'll be your bodyguards and we'll have a great night.
Okay.
Say, Lucy.
I'm going to have to bring Magda and Joel Creasy.
Oh, God, you're sweetening the deal.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah. we won't be able to get close. I've got to say, though, you have inadvertently been my wingman, because I was chatting to a girl on internet dating a couple of weeks ago, and she had a dog in one of her photos, and I asked her about a dog, and she said it was called Xena, and I was like, oh, so why Xena? And when I told her I was interviewing you, I did get the date, so thank you.
Oh, marvellous. How did it work out?
Oh, not so great. But that's why. The dog was great.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all good.
How's internet dating, man? I would be so afraid. I wouldn't even walk in a bar. I'm timid. Can you believe that customer that I am?
Noelle, I think when all eyes are on you, it makes it a little bit harder. You can't go incognito. You can't just sit and observe. I think people would be approaching you straight away, but you're not missing anything. While we're on the subject, I mean, obviously there's lesbian undertones in the writing of Xena. So I read one of your writers was Liz Friedman, who now writes for Orange is the New Black. So a lot of people might suspect that the lesbian theme was written into it later in the show, but I suspect she maybe had that as a plan all along.
Yeah, no, Rob, RJ and Liz always planned that. Mm. Renee and I were the only ones who didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was there from the beginning. The very first episode has a line, I'm not the little girl my parents want me to be, take me away.
Yeah.
and Liz always said, the girls will understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
What point, Lucy, did you realise, okay, wow, we're becoming really big in the gay community? Was it quite early on?
It was episode 8 and we were on the side of set and we got a fax in those days of the Village Voice here in New York hailing, this is the new gay show. And we were like, what?
Yeah.
You're so crazy. And we kind of loved it. It was like, that's really cool. And I always credited, that was Michael Musto, him and then the gay community in New York for giving Xena a groove, you know, gave the show a groove, and making it cool. So.
I had the Xena doll growing up, Lucy. I used to play Xena in school, and I'd make my best male friend be Gabrielle because I always wanted to be you.
I love it. Is that because you wanted to have Oh, no, no. You just wanted to be the Xena character.
I wanted it all, Lucy. I wanted the leather skirt. I wanted the top.
Yeah.
I wanted the ring. You go there, Lucy. I wanted it all as an 8-year-old boy. Let's just go there.
And you deserve it. I hope you did eventually get it.
I just wanted to know, though, I had the doll. What's, like, the craziest piece of merch you've ever seen?
I really like the snow globe with Vena and Gabrielle on crucifixes.
Oh, nice.
You know, they kept crucifying us, and I just thought that was kind of weirdly hilarious.
Yeah.
Two people flying on crosses in the snow.
Nice.
Because the snow globe's such a happy face.
Yeah.
Kitsch little object. And here was this hideous story point.
Amazing. So, I mean, Xena was filmed in the 90s, or at least started in the 90s. It was a really groundbreaking show. So forget obviously there's those lesbian undertones, but you had a trans character early on. And also, I think there was like a lot of interracial couplings, which wasn't really seen on TV at that time. Was they went in with that idea, didn't they?
That was Rob, the man who would later become my husband. He knows that people want to see themselves on screen.
Yep.
So growing up in Detroit and making movies, horror movies and things, you know, the black audience was a huge part of their following kind of thing, you know. And he knew that they were underrepresented and underserved. Same with gay people, same with people in wheelchairs, same with you name it, you know. But people want to see themselves represented, otherwise they feel invisible, ignored, you know, less than. This is not acceptable anymore. So that, I've got to give that credit to Rob Tappert, actually.
So if Rob was aware of it, were the rest of you aware of how this was going to be perceived from the community? Were all of you
We were aware of nothing. We just did it because we were just having a great time making this cool show. And it was really, really exacting. You know, the schedule was super heavy, very heavy on action all the time, every day. The number of days off I had in 6 years, you could count on one hand.
Wow.
So apart from the time when I broke my pelvis, I was off for 3 weeks, actually. But in the course of the normal schedule, just almost never happened. And so we weren't thinking about outside of the, you know, the horizon of the television set, really. We go from home to sleep to back to set, and there's no time to think about the outside world. So, no, we didn't expect it, and it's been the most miraculous. It was a miraculous thing. You know, how did this arise to be kind of a cultural phenomenon at the time? It was just good luck all round from, I don't know, the time was right.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Lucy, you donated your costume to the Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing, but I'm kind of a little bit annoyed because I was hoping, I was going to ask you today if I could lend it because I have a date coming up over the weekend.
Listen, I think it's just mouldering away in the Smithsonian garage, so I'm gonna put in a call and try to get it back. I bet you'd fit it better than me these days. You know what, I kind of want to put it on just to see if I'm like become dumpy middle-aged Xena, what it look like. That'd be kind of funny.
I think you should put that on Instagram and let us be the judge.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon you'll still rock it better than
hilarious.
Me.
I actually want to do that. And then I'm going to send it to you and you're going to put it on and Instagram it.
Amazing.
What's, you've obviously, the show's airing, it's going to go for 10 episodes, My Life is Murder. What have you got coming up? Will there be a second season of the show as well?
Oh, well, tens of people like it, so like it, please, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Channel 10, they play their cards very close to their chest and it's their money. They can do whatever they want and they've been really great to us up until now. So I'm so grateful that they backed us. So Claire and I and our team of writers and production could go off and make the show that we wanted to make. And, it's the only way is up.
Exactly.
Amazing.
So that's My Life is a Murder. It's on Channel 10 tonight at 8:30.
That's right. Thanks, my darling.
Thank you so much, Lucy.